Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Seegers, and the other host is
Elroy Seegers.
And this session, we wanted to talk about living below your means.
Yes.
And you're probably wondering, what is that? What is living below your means? It means if you're getting paid, I'm just going to throw a number out there, $1,000 a month, and then you spending $1,500 a month, you were living way above your means. And it's like, I can't spend $1,500 if I only got $1,000. Yeah, you can with credit cards.
Yep.
With credit cards, you can definitely go over your means. So what we're saying is, if you're making $1,000, let's try only spending $700 and saving $300. Right?
Right.
So what are the points you wanted to address, Elroy?
Yeah, I know in some cases, you know, my wife made a good point, you know, making $1,500, you're spending $1,500. You know, and that's really about money management also, because, you know, we all know in some cases, you know, your bills is $1,500. So you just had a bad start as far as managing your money. We're saying when you have the ability and the time to sit down and look at your finances, she's right. You want to have more money coming in and less going out. And you want to look at your whole kit and caboodle as far as your finances goes, your money management. And you want to make sure that the rule, you want to set rules for yourself. There's all kinds of rules out there, general rules. What I mean by that, general rules that's out in the public, that's out on the internet, that help guide you as far as how you can manage your money and live below your means and stuff. Well, here's a good example. So when you get a raise, do you take that raise and you go out and you spend it by jacking up the credit card or by going out and buy a car? You already, like, you know, you got $1,000 paycheck and you had 950 bills, and then you got a raise to $1,200, you go out and buy a car. It's like, hey, do you need that car? Is that a want? Is that a need? It's understanding what that purchase you're about to get into as far as your finances. Living below your means does two things. It helps you to live better financially, so you can take that money that you have extra to invest in things, your 401k, your kids' college, a house you may want. Start saving for a car to pay for in full, or a bigger down payment. So living below your means gives you extra money that you can assign to something so you can use it later on. Building up your 401k is a good one. You know, there's all kinds of vacations. I mean, all kinds of things every year that happens every year. Christmas happens, New Year's, Valentine's Day, birthdays, graduations, anniversary. Setting money aside for those things allows you to do those things living below your means, because you say, you know what? I got this raise. Let me start putting money away every month so that my wife and I, my spouse and I, can go on a vacation in June. But if you take that money and you go buy a car, it comes June, you're going to put in the credit card. Mm-hmm. Now you have mm-hmm. jacked everything up.
Right. Because you know? when you live above your means, that's stressful.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's the second thing. It causes stress.
It causes a lot of anxiety, because mm-hmm. in the moment when you're spending the money, mm-hmm. you feel this euphoria, like, oh, I got the latest and greatest, whatever. Right. I got this new thing. But then when the bills start rolling in, mm-hmm. then the stress and anxiety hits, because now you have to pay for this.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough to pay for it. Now you're juggling your bills to see who's going to get what. And yeah. and now, so the euphoria you felt when you bought the item, it's mm-hmm. gone.
Yeah.
And it's a cycle, because you have that euphoria, then you have anxiety and stress about paying paying for it, and then you do it again, and then you it's a cycle that people go through that when they live above their means. And just to throw it out there, we know someone that's like that, that live way beyond their means, and when it hits, they go crashing down. But they would, that euphoria of having this and having that and being able to see this and being able to see, oh, I got this, and then when that bill start rolling in, the credit card bills and whatnot, then they like, oh my goodness, but it's too late.
Yeah, so you got, you know, one thing you want to do about living below your means is also keeping your major purchases at a reasonable amount. What do I mean by that? You're going to buy a home. Okay, should I buy this home for $250,000 or should I buy this home for $600,000? You know, should I buy this car for $25,000 or the car for $35,000? You know, so those kind of things, once you buy those things, they're hard to reverse. Once you buy that house, you don't know if it's going to be underwater. You know, you don't know when you get it, if it's going to benefit you, you're going to have some equity in the house or not. Same when you buy a car, you know, you drive the lot, what happens? That price drives down. So you want to get something that's reasonable. Here's a good example. If you had $35,000 cash and you said you need a car, I'm saying need a car, not want a car. And you're going to say, okay, I'm going to pick a car. Oh, I found a car that's $25,000. Yeah, that's good. Then you go to another dealership. Oh, this one got all the bells and whistles, $35,000. And I got $35,000 to pay for it. You know what? I got the money. So I'm going to get $35,000. Right? So think about this here. Why not get a car for $25,000? And you got $10,000 in your bank to save for something else. One of the rules that you hear about is like saying anything that you buy, you should be able to have it in your account or be able to pay for it 100% plus 25% more. What I mean by that, if I buy a car, it's going to break down. You're going to have to get tires. You're going to have to need things for it. So that payment is just the beginning. So what about things that you're going to need when something happened to the car?
Maintenance,
so
insurance.
So that 25% is like, here's an example. You got a, let's say your house payment is $2,800, right? So 25% of the $2,800 is $700. So you gotta market your bill to $3,500. That's 25% more than what you would pay for the house. House payment $2,800. 25% of that is $700. $2,800 plus $700 is $3,500. That $700 allows some buffer room for you. So when things go wrong, because things will go wrong with a house, water heat, roofing, whatever, broken window, storm, floods, doesn't matter. Now you're like saying, well, we ain't got room, money to do all those things. Oh my gosh. So you want to build in some fluff monthly, not one time, monthly, so you can make those adjustments when things happen. It's when you don't make those adjustments and things happen, now you're like, oh my gosh, you start panicking. You start getting into deeper debt. You start making bad decisions. You start putting things on a credit card. You got to pay off the credit card. Your credit card balance is high. That's when it goes crazy. That's when the stress comes in. That's why you really got to sit down and make a plan. I know every time I get a raise or I get like a bonus, I think you can do this right here. Let's say I get a bonus for $1,000. I take $500, put it away, and I take $500 and the other half, and I spend on my wife and myself, on the kids. Sometimes I get the kids some money, or sometimes me and my wife do something with it. But I have a plan for it. You know, I might say, you know what, instead of $500, I'm going to put $700 in the bank and spend $300 on us. The thing is, don't get money, what's this, tax return time, and go out and blow TV and car. No, have a plan before you get that money. When you get it and it becomes a surprise to you, you're going to start making surprise decisions. It's going to come back to haunt you when that surprise bill comes in. And that surprise bill is going to be monthly. Won't be a surprise no more.
So they, I found it said a rule, a 50-50 rule, that when you get a raise or tax refund or bonus, take, like you said, it's called 50-50. You take 50 and invest in yourself, in your net worth, meaning save it or invest in stocks or something. And the other 50, you enjoy. At least that way, you're not blowing it all.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I've been doing that for eternity. Before the internet became the internet, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Before all these rules. That was something that I've always done since I've been married. I'm going to give myself this, give my wife this, and do X, Y, and Z because I'm putting something away from a rainy day. You know, you have to plan. You have to know before you get it.
Right,
You really do, you know. Go ahead.
I found another thing they saying that when you live below your means, you're not tied to a job. Nope. Say that mm-hmm. your job, you lose your job or mm-hmm. you don't like that job anymore. Then guess what? Because if you live beyond your means or right at the mm-hmm. amount you can handle, you always have to find a job that's paying you the same amount or more.
Right.
But if you live below your means, you can go to a lesser paying job because it's less stressful and you still be fine.
Yeah. Another thing, this is, to me, it's like a box within a box. You know, you get mm-hmm. a smaller box within a big box. And it's what I mean. One of the things they say is you track your spending, you know, how you spend your money each day or how you spend your money. You should do that whether you put yourself on a budget. Now, what's what I mean by this right here? So, me and my wife, she gets an allotment and I get an allotment, right? So let's say hers is 200 and mine is 200. So that's a line item for us. So I don't have to track what I do with my 200 because I know when that 200 is gone, I'm not going to get more money out of the account. So I really don't have to track it, but you do might want to track it to see what you're spending it on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
so it's like saying, here's 200 to you, 200 to me. That's it. Right. I want to say, how did I spend my $200? I'm going to track it. How you spent yours, you want to track it. So it's like a box in the box is what I mean. Like I said, that's what I mean by that. You can track it to see how you spend it on, but it's a one-time thing every month that you get or every 2 weeks that you get. So it's kind of like saying, yeah, you can track it, but you know, your track is like, here's your money. That's it. I ain't have to track it within that same budget for the family because it's a two separate line items, one for you, one for me, mm-hmm. that's it. It's not like saying, give me all your receipts and let's see how we did this month. You know what I'm saying? You go spend your money, mm-hmm. I go spend some money, and we put it on the budget saying, well, you spent 75 and I spent 80, so now we're bringing all the receipts back into the family budget. That 200 and your 200, my 200 and your 200, that's part of the family budget. It's a line item, so it keeps it separate from tracking everything. You can do your own personal tracking to see how you spent your money. Like saying, man, I spent $200. What did I spend on? I don't know. That's your line item. You can say, oh, I know that bit. I did X, Y, and Z. So it does help to see how you spend it, but it also helps to say, I'm just going to give you your piece and you can do what you want to with it, but you ain't getting no more. And that's typically what me and my wife do. We give ourselves a budget amount every so often, and then we live within that budget. So that's it. It's like that one link to us is like, here's your money and here's mine. That's it. She spends what she wants to spend it on. I spend what I want to spend it on.
And that was one of the bullet points that I had, that track your money often, how you spend.
Yeah.
That way you're mindful that you're not overspending.
Right.
And just to throw a plug in there, Elroy and I have an app called Bags of Money app that will actually help you track your spending. So
yep.
For Android users, go out there and download it and try it for 30 days free. And Apple users or iPhone users, we're working on getting that coding and getting that in the Apple store. So yeah, track your spending, see what you're spending on, what you're using your money on, and maybe there's ways you can cut things out that you really yep. don't need. Because you want to reach your financial goals. You don't ever want to be, most of us do, we're stressed constantly because we're spending more than what we have coming in. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good place to be in because that's anxiety, stress, and it's too much. Life is already hard, so you're making it harder when you do that. And I know we like to have nice things, and it's okay to have nice things long as it's within your budget or your financial plan. It definitely have it. So, yeah. But make sure it's within your financial plan.
And not only that, you want to sit and talk to your partner about that plan. One thing I always do, what we just did recently, I sit down and we sit down and figure out what we're going to do for the year. And then I say, hey, honey, this is what we can do, what we can't do. And then we discuss it and figure out, do we got anything major purchases they got going on? We got anything going on with the house? Do we need to save money for this, save money for that? Now, this year, my wife and I will be celebrating our 35th anniversary. And I also turned the big 6-0. So I call it, this is my 60-35 year. So we sat down and I said, honey, this is going to be our budget for the next 6 months. Now, you okay with it? And she looks at it and she's like, I can do that. Now, if we need to tweak it, we'll tweak it. But we do that because we have some lofty goals that we want to do, you know, for our anniversary or for my birthday. We just don't know. But the money be there for us to do it when the time comes. Versus just saying, I don't know what we're going to do. Whatever. Come May, June. Hey, let's go to whatever. You know, let's go to California. Well, we don't got no money for that because we haven't been saving for it. But when you live below your means, you allow that space, that money to save for whatever you do. See, people always think you got to save money for something. You can save money for whatever you want to be and do for when that time comes. Like emergency. That's like, you don't know what it's going to be, but you got money for it. Vacation. You don't know where you're going to go, but you got money for it. Christmas. You don't know how you're going to spend it, but you got money for it. So you want to make sure you put that money aside so you can have it when you need it. Not, I don't have it. Let me charge it. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to make somebody else rich by paying the interest rate every single month because I can only afford the minimum payment. You know,
and that's, you know what?
I want to avoid that.
Definitely. And that just struck me is that think about it like this. You're working hard to give your money to someone else to become rich. You're working hard, you're earning money, and you're giving it to someone else.
Robert, we should start a bank.
Right?
We should start a bank. And give us that money. Give us that money.
And that's what I say all the time when I see a concert tickets that's astronomical, or I see some sneakers or whatever that's astronomical. I'm like, they got theirs. I got to get mine. I'm not going to be paying you $200 for something. I'm not lining your pockets.
Right.
And I say it all the time. They got theirs. I got to get mine. So I'm not spending that kind of money.
Right.
So you're working hard to give your money to someone else. Yes, in return, you getting something, but that something loses its value the minute it gets in your hands. Because you purchased it, and now, like the people that sell their used stuff on, like those designer reuse consignments, apps and stores, online stores, you pay for that bag at $3,000, but you ain't getting $3,000 back when you sell it because it's depreciated in value.
Right. You know, and another thing, I also think that when you plan, it does create excitement, you know, because it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, like, hey, we're going to go on a trip come August. You're like, man, it got 8 months away. But as you get closer and as you put money away, it does, well, to me it does. I mean, you were thinking with somebody else, you're planning for something that you can see you're going to obtain, and you can start saying, oh, summertime, we're going to buy clothes for this. You can do it piecemeal together while you get into that August date. But I think anytime you plan something, it should make you excited. It should get you up and going, like, I know. And then it drives you to want to save more. I know my wife, she always says, I'd rather have the money in my account and then to see it grow. And once that ball starts rolling, you're like, what? You tend to spend less on frivolous things because you see, I want my account to go, and I can see how I'm doing it now. So now that money I was getting every 2 weeks, I'm gonna give you 100 back, or I'm gonna take 100 and do X, Y, and Z with it. Because I want more to go towards this goal than versus me just going out and getting things that I really don't need. What was it I said the other day? I said the other day when we was cleaning the closet out, I said, man, because of COVID, we haven't wore a lot of clothes. I said, I got enough shirts for the summertime to last me almost 6 months. I said, this is crazy. I said, I cannot go out and buy another piece of shirt until I start wearing the ones that I currently have. And I know you're the same way. You have a lot of stuff. And it's like saying, you know, we don't need another thing. It's for us, it'll be a truly a want not a need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now I'm like wearing things that I haven't worn in a long time, and it looks nice. I'm like, man, it looks good. You know, pulling things out. So maybe you need to do the exact same thing before you go out and buy something. Look in your closet. Look at what you already have. You may not need that thing. Take that money and save it. You know, getting coffee every day. How much that can be expensive. Maybe mm-hmm. not get coffee. You know, do you need it? Do you want it? You know, I make my own coffee every morning, straight black. You know, those little things. So I save money. That's what $6-7 a day I save by making my own coffee. Mm-hmm. So there's little things mm-hmm. you can do, and that's living below your means too. That's what it means. I mean, because I don't need the coffee. You know, I can make it myself. So I'm finding ways to meet our goal and beyond the goal that we have set for ourselves.
And it's all about a feeling. I know that when people listen to this, it's a feeling they get when they have something new and shiny. It's a feeling. But guess what? That feeling goes away, because if it made you feel that great, if it made you feel that great, you wouldn't need to go out and spend even more, because that satisfied you. But it never does. It never does. Amen. You go to your next thing. And then once you get that, you go to the next thing. That's how our sons did at Christmas, or when they were younger. They worry us to death about giving them whatever. And we would give them like games and all of that, cartridges, game cartridges and all that. And the minute they got it, they were on to the next thing.
Next big thing.
It was like, next, what's next on my list that I want? And then they worry us and we working hard and we give it to them. And then they like, okay, what's next on my list? That's just how we are.
Right.
Once you get it, it's like, okay, move on to the next thing. Yep. And the feeling is gone, and your money is gone.
Yep. Got to plan better.
Well,
it also helps you live paycheck to paycheck too. So,
that's
one thing. You just want to be able to live within your, you know, they call it live within your means, and that's what it means. You want to live within like the average amount of money that you got going out is not as much as you got coming in.
Right, you don't want to be spending it all. Right.
Or house poor, or car poor.
Yeah, you know,
Vacation poor, you know.
Right.
Doing what everybody else doing, because you see them doing something, you know, you're like, ooh, I'm going to do what they're doing. And next you know, you get home like, man, that trip cost us $2,000. Now we're going to pay for that. Put on that credit card. Now you got to figure it out. You want to avoid those kind of things as possible, you know.
Cash
is your goal. Is it cash is king? That is true. Cash is always king.
Yeah, so just be mindful that just because you make $20, you don't have to spend $20. Just start saving some of your money and investing in other things and preparing for the future, you know?
This is what I look at it this way. The less I spend on those kind of things, it's really like looking at I'm investing to myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not giving somebody else $500 on a car note that I can give $200 on. So I'm thinking $300. I may not know what to do at that point in time, but I'm still investing in myself, because I have that $300 to do something with. So that's really an investment into me. Now me got to figure out, what can I do with this money? If I spend the $500, it's like, how I'm going to make that money to pay for that bill. So anytime you live below your means, you're really saying, this is about me. I'm investing in myself. I'm taking care of me. I see me first, you know? So if you start seeing that, start thinking like that, not how people see you, because people can say, man, that's a nice car. Oh, get that high-end car. You like, no, get them out your ear and start thinking first. Okay.
Right, honey,
so we can wrap it up. So if you want to, we can give them all our tags and stuff for how they can find us and locate us and stuff like that. Unless you got anything you want to add, you want to wrap it up, by do a wrap up. Summary, you want to?
No, just be mindful of how you're spending your money.
Amen.
Don't spend it all. Invest in yourself, invest in your future, because you got to live tomorrow. You spend it all today, you're going to suffer tomorrow. So, especially young people, you can start that now. You got to have that mindset now. When you turn 30, 40 years old, you be straight, you be set.
I just saw a quote online, and it says, it doesn't say who says it. It says, it's pretty funny. It says, One he said, the guy said, it's a guy who has a business. He says, one client said it perfectly. Spending money is like transferring your wealth to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You're mm-hmm. making somebody else rich. Wow.
Yeah, you're all making right, someone
right.
else rich.
All right, wow. All right, so our podcast, you can find us at giftedgenerations-llc.com/podcast. That's actually our website. And on our website, you can find a lot of things. You can see how to download our app, some FAQs on there. So there's a lot of nice things on our website that you can actually use to your advantage. You also can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at Gifted Gen LLC. That's Gifted Gen LLC. You can find us on Instagram at gift.gen. And on YouTube, it's at Gifted Generations LLC. That's with the S to y'all, Gifted Generations LLC. And then you can also find us find our podcast, Finance Ology 101 on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And also my wife created a Twitter handle for us. It's at GiftedGen2019. And as my wife said earlier, we do have an app out there called Bags of Money. It's on the Android platform right now. We're working on trying to get it on Apple. And as my wife said, it's a great way to monitor your money to see how you spend it. Not only that, it allows, you can project how much you have in your account months, weeks down the road. Once you put that, how often you get paid, the frequency on it, monthly, weekly, bi-weekly, and also when your bills, how often you have the expenses, monthly, weekly. It has an algorithm that you know, hey, based on your income and your expenses that you do on a frequent basis, just how much money you have on your account on this certain day. But it also allows you to put in any kind of statement. You know, you get a one-time gift, you get a gas, restaurants. Once you put that one-time entry into the app, it's going to update your checking balance moving forward. So the app is pretty accurate as long as you keep track of how you do your information. And the good thing is about it is it does not have any information that we're collecting, like banking information, anything like that. It's totally independent on what you do and use.
Right. It's a standalone app. It does not connect to your bank account, but it requires you to be engaged to your finances because this day and age, we swipe in order and mm-hmm. we're not paying attention to how much we're spending. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do a shameless plug, y'all. We're going to try TikTok. We're going to try to get out there on TikTok and do a little thing about this app. So we'll let y'all know when we got it up and running because we're trying to figure it out. You know, we got to get with the young folks to help us figure it out. So be looking for that our TikTok, handle, coming soon. So we'll be promoting the app. So thank you, everyone, once again for joining us. And I pray that this information and words of encouragement we provide on the podcast is truly blessing you.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.